The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Back to the X-Zone. My name is Rob McConnell. We're coming to you live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network, X-Zone TV, and on shortwave. Our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255. Email xzone at talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio at hotmail.com. And our two websites, www.xzoneradio.com and www.xzonetv.com. Before we get to my next guest, David Campione, the top five signs you really need to clean up before the big Super Bowl party. Number one, people keep slipping on pumpkin remnants on the porch. Number two, there's a dust bunny for every song on your iPod. Number three, inside the refrigerator just growled. Number four, not one needle is left on the Christmas tree. And number five, Carrie 2004 is written in dust on your coffee table. And for those of you who may have missed this earlier tonight, the top five movies coming out about the presidential campaign. Number one is Throw Obama from the Train. Number two, The McCain Mutiny. Number three, The Hillary Have Eyes. Number four, Mitt Could Happen to You. And number five, the documentary on John Edwards' campaign, Untraceable. Joining me now is David Campione. He grew up in Philadelphia and southern Jersey, also known as the Greater Delaware Valley. He was in the United States Coast Guard from 1965 to 1969, one-year tour in South Vietnam, 1966 to 1967. He received his associate degree from LDS Business College, Salt Lake City, Utah. He is a professional photographer and has been a professional photographer since 1970. He also does commercial and industrial photography and has been doing freelance stock photography for the past 25 years. David put his father's UFO collection, he acquired since the 1950s and produced the world's greatest UFO flying saucer video documentary, and he did the narration for it. He received the EBE Award from the UFO Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the best UFO documentary in the world, under 1 hour by a couple or minutes. The award was given under DC Productions. And I've asked David to join us tonight so that he could also try and help us better understand the UFO and the UFO videos and the photography that has been taken of this something in the skies over Texas. And David, how are you, young man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. Thanks very much for joining us, David. I respect your photographic experience and your knowledge. And I'm just wondering, David, maybe you can answer this. Why no one yet has taken that smoking gun photo of a UFO? I mean, besides yourself.
I think I have it on my DVD. Of course, I did not take it, but a couple other people have taken it. Basically, Mr. Paul Villa. On the Stephenville, I found out quite a few shots of this possible same craft on the YouTube. I don't know if you've seen
the ones
that are up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that was near the Arkansas border.
Yes.
That actually shows a good craft with the lights on the bottom of it that this woman took, and she wouldn't give her name out, but that one was pretty interesting on the the oval shape. But at that time of night, it took me a while to locate it, but they said it was at 6 p.m. Now, I don't know how dark it was on January 8th at 6 p.m. in Stephenville, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And unless somebody had a good digital video camera that had a wide optic lens, a large iris that would open to allow more light come in, that was one of the key, I think it was the main key on why nobody really recorded that, because I don't even own one of those.
David, stand by. We've got to take a two-minute break. David Campione is our special guest. www.spaciousSky.com. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go away. David Campione is our special guest, www.spaciousSky.com. David, before we went to the break, we were talking about this video footage that is on YouTube, and there's quite a bit of video footage of the supposed UFO over Stephenville. One of the things that I can't understand, David, and I asked the same question to Kevin Randall earlier this evening, was why would a UFO have navigational lights on it that mimic commercial aircraft?
One of the things I forget who reported it to my father years ago. The reason, or it was conveyed to him why they do that when they're going at a slow speed within our atmosphere here and around cities and things. They want to give the illusion or the look that they are a real craft, so nobody flies into them. And they see, because all aircraft do have lights on them.
Yes.
They should have lights. And either they're just complying with the regulations. I mean, it would be a heck of a thing to, you know, you're flying along and there's this black object or something, and wham, and you're done, you know. So I believe that they use lights for identification for other craft in the skies.
So after reviewing the video on the Stephenville UFO, and I'm sure you've read the reports and so on, do you consider that to be a credible sighting?
From everything that I read, I actually do. The only thing is that I couldn't make out, the one that you have on your main webpage, mm-hmm. that particular thing, I don't know what that is. But the descriptions from a couple people that, you know, this thing's a mile long and a half a mile wide. That's huge.
Now, this is what I can't understand, that if the craft is this big, how come only a handful of people saw it? Like the way it's lit up, you know, and according to some of the witnesses, a mile and a half long, you know, my God, this thing would stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, as the one guy said, it looked like a Walmart in the sky.
You know, Walmart's taking delivery to the next step. We don't deliver the product, we deliver the store.
Absolutely. Gee, yeah, I don't, what I found, I mean, having read quite a bit of some of the different people, the one guy, when the initial report came out, he had his hunting rifle out with the scope, and I'm thinking, what the heck is he doing hunting at night after I found what time it was? But apparently that's what he used to observe the craft at,
mm-hmm.
by using the scope, you know, as a, I guess he didn't have binoculars, so he used his rifle scope to view the spacecraft. But then the Major, what's his name, Carl Lewis from this 301st Fighter Wing in Carswell Field somewhere in Texas, he says, well, you people didn't see that. It was two commercial jets passing by. Well, give me a break, Rob. These things are a few hundred feet off the ground. The commercial jets don't fly that low in the remote areas. Mm-hmm. They're 30,000 and above, or 40,000 feet. And you know, they don't hover at 300 feet off the ground, or neither do our military jets, unless it's a Harrier that was planned. But a mile-long Harrier jet? I've never heard of such a thing.
But once again, the mile-long UFO, the way it was lit up, something is wrong with this entire story. Something is wrong. More than a handful of people should have seen this mile-and-a-half-long UFO that was lit up like a Christmas tree.
Well, they said 30. What do I have in here? One of the 38 people. I mean, that's more. That's quite a bit of quite a few people that have seen this thing. But back to what your original question was, mm-hmm. before the break. You would. I mean, personally, I would think. I mean, if it was me, I would at least run in the house and grab a still camera and start photographing. Why? You know, these little cell phones. I have one too with a camera. It'll do a video on it. You're not going to get good reproduction, but somebody out there has to have a decent camera or even a halfway decent video camera to record this thing. And one of the problems at nighttime with cameras, now when you're photographing something like this, and these lights, now there's no way of telling how large these lights were on there. The sensors on these cameras, on these video cameras, or even your cell phone cameras. They record and adjust the exposure for the bright light. So if you have a bright light, that camera is going to record the light, the brightest light, one of the lights, so it'll become much clearer and not overexposed, where the rest of the object, which would be the craft, would be so dark so you wouldn't really see this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would take, to get a better photograph, then it would take somebody who knows how to override or overexpose and forget about the lights and go after the object itself, and they would be able to get a clearer picture in the evening. It's not easy to photograph at night. It's very difficult. And, you know, unless they have a professional out there doing it, we're not going to see much. And apparently we aren't seeing much.
No, we're not.
No.
The DVD that you have,
yes.
that won the awards, tell our new audience who we've had several stations who've joined us since you were on with us last, David. Tell them about the video.
We have, my dad acquired a lot of information over 25 years on doing flying saucer research in the Philadelphia, Southern New Jersey area, which is called the Delaware Valley. And it has illustrations of craft which people had seen over the years in the Philadelphia area. And go into segments also of some previous magazine photographs from the 50s and 60s, and then into the color photographs it's just like daylight, like you walk out the door and see your car and take a picture of it, of a photograph of the one craft that comes from Como Bernices. It was taken by Mr. Paul Ville outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was 160 feet in diameter, and there were nine people in this craft, 7 to 9 feet tall. I talk about those people in there. And there also, at another time, that Mr. Villa took some daylight photos of a small monitoring craft, which is approximately, he said it was 36 inches, not feet, but inches in diameter. And that's an incredible little series also of, and it's just not one photograph. There's a series of color photographs, and also a great photo of a ship that was in the desert on its side, a real flying saucer, that Mr. Villa had said they released a small monitoring craft, and they the craft went up and carved in the clouds or sculpted in the clouds a Native American Indian laying on his back. You can see the feather, his face, his nose. And, you know, the clouds dissipate, and he was asked to photograph it at that specific time. And then I go into others, a few other things, and also of a couple craft that I, a large craft that I saw myself out in, outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, back in 1988.
And what kind of craft were they, David?
The one that I saw was that, I swear, to this day, it was, I thought it was an airplane crash, mm-hmm. and it's exactly what it looked like, but there weren't any wings on it. It is a huge tail, no wings coming off the tail wing, just the tail going up. I can't remember which ones come off of the tail, the low tail wings. There was nothing there. It was just like a straight fuselage, and it was black, and it was sitting like in between, in a valley between a mountain range outside of Las Vegas, Las Vegas, as I've been told is what it's called.
How did you come across it?
We're driving along the highway at a high rate of speed. If I hope they don't give me a ticket. Of course, it was 20 years ago, and I looked off to the left, and I for some reason I just saw that I wasn't driving. I was a passenger, and I looked over and I saw this thing, and I said, "Oh my gosh, there's a plane crashing over there in the valley to the left," and my wife looked over and didn't see anything, and so we drove back with this little rental car, and we drove the power line road back to where the mountain range is. It was 4.5 miles.
Wow.
And this thing looked like it was right next to us within maybe 200 yards. And we drove all the way back. We parked the car. We're walking over these hills out in the desert, and there's nothing. We couldn't see anything. And I thought, well, maybe I'll throw a rock and see if it's sitting there. You know, my wife says, no, don't. So I didn't throw a rock to see if it was a craft cloaked or something. I don't know if it would have made anything or if I would have hit it. I don't know how that would work, but that was just a monstrous thing. I would say my estimation it probably was a half a mile long and I don't know, maybe 300 yards wide or 200 yards wide, and it just looked like a big airplane without wings, just sitting there above the ground. And it was all black. It wasn't silver. It was just black. No markings. But the thing that was really fascinating, when we kept on climbing over these hills trying to get to a certain area, mm-hmm. When I got on top of this one hill, way off into the distance, which I believe was in a western area, west from where we were, is this huge cliff, sheer cliff, and up in it, it looked like there was a large rectangle cut in this cliff. Now, how far away we were, I don't know. We could have been, 5 miles or 10 miles from this particular mountain range, because we couldn't get to it by car, at least not with the vehicle that we had. We wouldn't even attempt it. And we don't know whether that craft went into that area, that mountain. I have no idea, which we think was quite a possibility.
Like a hangar built into the side of the mountain.
Absolutely, but way up high, let's say the side of the mountain was, 5,000 feet, mm-hmm. and this thing was at about 3,000 feet out up on the face of the mountain.
Fascinating.
And it was just a sheer wall. It was fascinating. And, Rob, this was even more fascinating when I...
Let's hold on to this thought. Let's call
sure.
this a cliffhanger. You and I have to take a news break.
Okay.
David Campione's our special guest. www.spacioussky.com. David and I will return on the other side of this news break, and some words from our fine sponsors as the X-Zone continues live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, exclusively on the Talkstar Radio Network, X-Zone TV, and now on shortwave. By the way, the X-Zone is now broadcasting in Europe. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break. Don't go away.
I feel young. I act young. I am young. I'm only 45. So imagine my surprise recently when I was attending my son's high school graduation ceremony and someone asked me which one was my grandchild. Did I look that old? And the answer was in the mirror. My wrinkles were adding years to my looks. I had to do something, but shots of Botox or a facelift was the last thing I wanted to resort to. Then a friend of mine introduced me to Hydroderm. Hydroderm is a proven anti-aging serum that helps reduce the appearance of wrinkles while encouraging a smooth, youthful look and feel to skin. Well, it worked. No more grandma face for me, and my husband hasn't looked at me like this in years. Well, call now for a free 14-day trial of Hydroderm, absolutely risk-free. Your free trial of Hydroderm is just a phone call away. Here's the number. 1-800-263-0613. Call now before this risk-free offer expires. 1-800-263-0613. Toll free. 1-800-263-0613.
Are you questioning your future in the year 2008 and what lies ahead for you in matters of family, love, finance, employment, and travel? Do you have questions that have been haunting you and now you're seeking guidance and the answer to these questions from those on the other side? If you have said yes, then you need to call Premier Psychics right now. At Premier Psychics, talented, gifted, professional psychics will help you find the answers to the questions that you seek and help you on life's metaphysical journey. Call Premier Psychics now, toll-free at 1-866-803-6593 or visit Premier Psychics online at www.premierpsychics.com. Know today what the future holds for you. Once again, call Premier Psychics, toll-free at 1-866-803-6593 or visit Premier Psychics online at www.premierpsychics.com, where the extra E in Premier stands for excellence.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Splinza, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the XM.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Ron McConnell.
Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro4U, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
David Campione is our special guest, Exo Nation. And David, it was talking to us before we went to the news break about, David, what were we saying?
Oh, is that craft that I saw out in
Yes, that big black craft.
Yeah, it looked like an airplane, a fuselage with just the tail and just cool looking, flat black mat, you know. I mean, just a neat thing out in their red desert environment. But what we know, what I noticed is, well, before we went to the break, where it was, let's just say, roughly 3,000 feet up where that rectangle was on the cliff wall, there were these circles. And how big, I have not, it had to been huge, because I mean, I was at least 5 miles away from the
Holy
cliff.
Cow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it took us 4.5 miles to drive just to get to the general area where I thought we saw this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's vast out there. And but anyway, I looked at these circles, and I'm wondering, what the heck is that stuff also? So for some reason, I turn around and look which I presume would be east. I didn't have a compass with me, so I'm just guesstimating which way I was looking. Seemed like I looked east, and way off, which, Rob, it had to be. Let's see, we were, well, 4.5 miles from the road, and then there were more hills on the other side, so it might have been a total of 10 miles away. There were these huge, looked like traffic lights, and I'm going, what in the heck is this stuff doing out there? These huge, one of them was green. I mean, and so, I don't know. I mean, it was just the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. That's more bizarre than seeing a UFO.
Like landing lights on an aircraft carrier.
Well, I don't know. I've never been on one, so that's quite possible. But but from that distance, they looked the size of a basketball. So I don't know how big they were. That's huge.
It certainly is. While you were watching this craft, did you notice any military aircraft in the vicinity?
Absolutely nothing. We were, in fact, there wasn't another vehicle back in there. We got concerned because you get so far back. We had a Ford, Tempo rental car driving in these dry riverbeds with the rocks. And I said, well, how am I going to explain this if I get stuck back in here? You know, we're worrying about, because they have gates up to these power line areas, so you can't go through there. And fortunately, we didn't run into anything like that. But, Rob, we didn't see another soul or anything out there. But this thing appeared and disappeared in a matter of moments. It wasn't there a long time. It just gone. And I found that amazing.
Do you know of any ETs living on this planet?
Well, personally, I would probably say, yeah. The children that we ran into in a little community in New Jersey back in the 60s where they were, we went and visited. My father had the information that there were half the community was, or 50% of the community were from some other planets, and they were down here working to try to help us advance in our technology. And we've had, I mean, you know, where do these advancements come from? I mean, you know, we learn, and somehow we get the information and the knowledge. And sometimes people put that information out there. They have think tanks, and a lot of these people probably work in these think tanks so we can progress.
Tell us about the children.
Well, it was fun. It was very interesting. Myself, my father, a local, what channel was it? Channel 10 out of Philadelphia, the anchorette, as I call them, and the producer of the TV program, which they did around Philadelphia. The four of us drove to this community in New Jersey, and we drove in through went down through the housing area and kept on going. The road went from blacktop, turned into dirt, and at the other end, which was really strange to have a convenience store away from the highway and back further in the woods or in the off the main road, kind of. And we went in there, and we grabbed a couple soft drinks, and we were just standing there, and then all out of nowhere, it seemed like 25 children just come running and riding bicycles right up to the store, and they're just milling around and just they grabbed their hands or playing merry-go-round, just so joyous and happy. And we're going, this is the most strangest thing you see with people. And they were just high, and they just all nice looking children. I mean, to have 25 come out of nowhere, which when we drove through, we only saw like two or three children. And there were only a couple adults that we saw. Of course, it was during a work day. And it was probably about 3 in the afternoon. And most people would have been working. This shop owner, he didn't say anything of the convenience store. He just thought, I mean, we never even asked him anything. And nothing was recorded. We didn't have any cameras with it, any TV cameras with it, but my father gave this reporter, said, you can come along, I'll show you where I think and what I was told where these people live at. And it is a little community. That's the only place that I know of in New Jersey, if they're still there. I'm sure somebody's around, but how many or maybe they moved on or left. Gotten a craft, because it used to be a hotbed of flying saucer activity, and the place isn't far from Fort Dix, New Jersey, where the big Air Force base is.
Where were they from?
No idea. No idea. We never knew. At least I never did. Yeah. Nobody ever said anything to my father where the people were from. They said they just came down here to help out.
But how do you know that these children were from outer space?
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's never did ask them, but it was just the in a community that you're in and where supposedly people who are living there are, which was from outer space on this coming came to this planet, had volunteered themselves and they procreated and have children, I guess, so they could grow up as possibly a learning experience and also to help out.
Tell me, in your estimation, how many different visitors from other planets are visiting planet Earth?
Probably 150 different species of or different visitors. Now, I don't say species because the only thing I know are humanoid to visit. My father had never received anything that dealt with reptilian, lizards, God knows, snakes, whatever the heck these people come, cockroaches, I don't know. You know, and they're just different people who come and visit from different solar systems and galaxies within our universe.
Well, why do they come here?
Let's just observe and see how we're doing. Our planet, or our solar system, has been, I don't know for a fact, okay, this is not a fact, but it's all conjecture, that we're here to learn something. We're here to be here for whatever's happening with this planet at this time. And a lot of people chose to incarnate, if you believe that there is a, you have a soul, that you incarnated at this time. And this planet, this solar system has been moving to, as they say, the psychics say, to a higher vibration. And something is going to happen. Now, what's going to happen, and this is what everybody's coming here to experience in the physical when this, whatever happens. And apparently it's going to be fairly, well, what's this, 2008? Supposedly, it could have something to do with this 2012 that's coming up now. Pure conjecture, Rob. No fact at all in this.
What, you know, like, do they pose a threat to us?
No, not to my knowledge. I've heard of we've had reports where people, especially down here in Florida, where somebody saw a beehive-shaped craft, and he took a shot at it while he was hunting, and a beam came out and hit him to subdue him. Didn't kill him, but they were just acting in self-defense. And I've never seen any aggressive moves. We've had some of our military craft have crashed trying to go after these, but you know that's their fault for doing this. I mean, you're not going to try to catch something that's doing 5,000 miles an hour when you have a craft that can do like 500 miles an hour. It just doesn't make any sense. But maybe they just have to make a showing. I don't know.
Tell me, do you believe the governments of the world are suppressing the information to the public about UFOs?
Absolutely, Rob. And I'm sure we're leading the way here with in this country. And of course, there's been many people out there. I think one of the big persons involved in lawsuits with the with our government for freedom of information, I believe, is this Dr. Stephen Greer, has been like a bulldog on him for years, and it's been as he's having a hard time at it. And hopefully, something's going to break. And why they won't release it? And Rob, here we come back to Stevensville, Texas. Mm-hmm. The Air Force says, "Oh, they were jets." No, there wasn't anything there. There were commercial aircraft, and then what? 3 weeks later, they say, no, we had fighter jets. Well, come on, why are these? The guy should be court-martialed for lying. They should convene a board and court-martial this major for lying, and anybody else who was involved with them. But who's going to do that? Now I see that MUFON's down there putting pressure on them, which is good. Have you had anybody from MUFON on about this yet, Rob?
We invited them to come on, but They didn't respond to us, and you know, like, I'm not the kind of person who'll just sit here and swallow everything they say.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of respect for MUFON.
Yeah. My father was a member years ago when he was alive, and I guess in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and he got out of it because he was convinced all they were doing was just giving any information for the government. They're just like out there, you know. I mean, I'm sure they'll debate it to no end, but I'm sure their files are, you know, accessible to the government. Who knows who funds them? Unless it's all, you know, they do it privately. I don't even know anymore. I don't follow them or deal with them.
Yeah.
But I found it very interesting reading your article about the Stephenville, Texas, on your website, that you requested all these different people to come on and talk, and nobody showed up or even emailed you. Is that
That's
correct?
That's right. The only reply I received back was from, just let me get the information here, was from Angelina Joyner with the newspaper, the Stephenville's, I believe it's Empire Tribune.
Oh.
Now, I had sent her an email. I'd sent one to Julie Danley from the Stephenville Chamber of Commerce. And over 300 emails to the businesses that were listed in the Chamber of Commerce directory. To tell the members of the chamber, I wanted to know how the UFO sighting had affected their business, pro or con, basically. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk to the Chamber of Commerce president about the being thrown into the media spotlight as well as being catapulted onto the world map.
Right.
And I wanted to talk to Angelina Joyner about the people who she interviewed. She declined and never heard back from MUFON, never heard back from the Chamber of Commerce, or any of the over 300 emails that we sent to the Chamber members.
Do you think the emails coming back out of there were intercepted and there was a block on you that you don't know about, or you just think that they didn't respond, period?
I think they didn't respond, period, because they don't, you know, like... They don't want to be questioned. They just want to give their side, talk about the UFO, and as I said there, you know, as long as you want to talk about, just sit there and say yes, and really, wow, ooh, isn't that great, and you don't challenge them.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, I just find it ironic, and, you know, if they want to be that way, fine, and
yeah.
Hey, everybody has their own cross to bear. Now they've got a UFO on theirs.
Yeah, but what I found interesting is the Air Force, and why. Of course, they said, well, we don't investigate them anymore. It's a bunch of crap anyway. You know, I've never believed that they stopped.
Actually, we found out that the agenda for investigating UFOs has been given over to the National Security Agency.
Really? Well, you know, they're the ones with the money, with all their black ops.
Exactly.
They're the ones who do it. Jeez.
All right, stand by, David. You and I have to take our final break. David Campione's our special guest. www.spaciousky.com. When we come back from the news, from this commercial break, we'll be taking a look at who's going to be on the show with us tomorrow night, and we'll take a look at tonight and finish off this great 4 hours of sitting here with you, the X-Zone Nation. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern, right here from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.
Choosing someone to help guide you through deep financial waters is an important as well as very personal decision. Let me tell you good news. You have a friend in the loan business who is sincerely anxious to help you when you need it. The toll-free number, in case you ever do need it, is 1-866-464-1800. There'll be an interested, caring, and friendly voice at the other end of the line when you call Prime Pacific Capital. I know it's not every day you need advice on consolidating credit cards or getting a home loan or getting a lower interest rate, but when you do need help, that's no time to take chances. Call 1-866-464-1800 or visit www.talkstarradio.com. Call 1-866-464-1800 and introduce yourself to your friend in the money business. But don't ask for free samples. I already tried that. It doesn't work. Call 1-866-464-1800.
Whether it's the arrival of Planet X in 2012, the Earth's crazy weather cycles, our deadly global warming, Armageddon, UFOs, ETs, terrorism, the critical mass 2008 presidential elections, Dr. Jason Rand talks the talk and walks the walk. Being a twice-nominated Grammy record producer, recording artist, publisher, lecturer, UFO ET researcher and investigator, and best-selling author of The Return of Planet X, Mankind's Ongoing Legacy with a Brown Dwarf Star, Dr. Jason Rand truly does walk the walk and talk the talk. For more information on Dr. Jason Rand or to order The Return of Planet X, visit his website at www.returnofplanet-x.com or call 901-336-9660.
And where will you be in the year 2012?
Welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity of thanking all our guests tonight for joining us and for sharing their time with us here on the X Zone. On tonight's show, we had Dr. Jason Rand, we had Major Kevin Randall, Ruth Hoskins, and our guest this hour, David Campione, whose website is www.spaciousskies.com. On tomorrow night's show, Armando Duke is going to be joining me. He is a journalist. We're going to be talking about UFOs. Steve Hammonds will be joining us talking about his mission into the light. Superman and I will be doing an hour of open mic in the third hour, and then Cal Core from Cal's Corner will be in the final hour. Friday night, Michelle White Dove will be doing psychic reading. She is a psychic detective. She is also the young lady who won the psychic challenge on TV, and she's been named North America's number one psychic. Tommy Golden will be with us from the Middle Tennessee Ghost Chasers. Elizabeth Joyce doing psychic readings. And then Hal Sisson, he is a Canadian lawyer, will be talking about the 9/11 truth movement. That's still to come this week here on the X Zone. David, always great talking to you. What could you tell our listening audience in the next minute that would help them take better photographs of UFOs?
Just keep your camera handy. Take your ISO to a higher speed and keep it at least 400 or 600 if you can do that. That'll allow you to get a better shot if it's a low light condition. Mm-hmm. If you have the digital single lens reflex, take it up to 1600 if you have one of the quality ones, and just keep looking up.
I was told by someone in the news media that if you have a video recorder, to take it off automatic.
That I don't know. I don't know anything about videos, Rob. I haven't used a video in 40 years. So cameras. Wow. I've always been still. One thing, if I can say real
sure.
quick, I photographed the Air Force Thunderbirds. I've had the opportunity, a B-1 bomber, the F-22, the F-18. And I know what an F-16 looks like, and this, I have a short article that came out of Stephenville, Texas, that the Naval Reserve Base said there were 10 F-16 jet fighters doing mission around Stephenville, and the people said, well, it looks like the jets were chasing the craft, so somebody's lying down there.
Somebody's lying, and somebody has misidentified something that they saw in the sky. That's what I believe.
Absolutely. But a mile by a mile and a half, I don't know. Rob, my video, The World's Greatest UFO Flying Saucer DVD, is available on Amazon.com by that title.
Excellent, my good friend. Again, thank you very much for joining us tonight, David. Always great talking to you, and thanks for sharing.
God bless you and all your family and staff and all our listeners in the Christ light.
You take care, pal.
Right.
Bye-bye now. David Campione, www.spaciousky.com. His video is available at Amazon.com. Well, that's it for tonight, Exo Nation. I would like to thank my producer, the one and only Superman, for keeping us up on those three big satellites in the sky, Galaxy 4R, Telstar 7, and Aglia 2. And I've been told that we're going to be on a fourth satellite in the very near future. To my wife and senior producer, the one and only Laura Rogers, thank you, honey. And to Keith Friedman at Consolidated Streaming, thanks, Keith, for keeping our video feeds going. And to you, the Exo Nation, thank you for allowing us to be part of your day or night, no matter where you are in this great big world of ours, or who knows, in a spaceship over Stephenville somewhere. So until tomorrow night, take care of each other, and always remember to keep your eyes to the sky and your heart to the light.